Welcome to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin and former Capital newspaper reporter Chuck Johnson. And Chuck, Republican gubernatorial candidate Greg Gianforte has extended his so-called Regulation Roundup tour of the state. I think it's over 60 towns now. And basically, that tour, isn't it, is a plain old campaign swing through the state.
Well, it is. It is and it isn't, Sally. He's going to towns large and small and asking primarily business people to come and tell what state regulations they find onerous in conducting their business. And it also serves the purpose of getting him out and meeting these people and, you know, trying to get them in his camp. A lot of them probably would be anyway, because a lot of the business community is Republican. You know, I have not seen a list yet, and I think he is in the process of compiling a list that he would put together of regulations that he thinks need to, you know, go out the window. The thing about regulations is there are a slew of them, but, you know, some of them are critical to protect the public health and safety. Some may be ones that were put in place 40 years ago that have no meaningful purpose now. So the idea of identifying ones that are outdated certainly is a legitimate deal, and the ones he thinks are suffocating businesses, that might be legitimate too, although probably very debatable. Some of them may be very necessary for public health, safety, consumer protection, that sort of thing. So it's a little premature to say what he's coming up with, but I think we'll find out in the coming months.
His central premise is that some government regulations are hindering economic growth, and here's how he puts it.
We need regulations, but because no regulations would give us anarchy, too many regulations give us strangulation. But as I talk to people today, we're way closer to strangulation than we are to anarchy.
And his point is that some businesses are being strangled to the point where it's hurting them.
And that may be. I suspect this will be a major focus of his campaign messaging throughout the race and also his advertising. The thing about regulations is they are not passed by the legislature. These are put in by executive branch agencies to implement laws passed by the legislature or federal laws that the state has to implement. I think it's too early to say what he's going to come up with, but I'm sure he'll come up with a list and put them on the chopping block. There'll be probably a healthy debate over some of them, like I say, because some of them may be vital to protecting public health and welfare.
One thing I'd add about regulations is that, you know, regulations are something that's easy to hate when things are normal. But whenever there's a big crisis, you know, think back to the oil spill issues on the Yellowstone. When you have something like that, everyone then gets upset that there weren't more regulations.
Well, at the same time that Greg Gianforte is doing this tour, Governor Steve Bullock unveiled a new Business Navigator website to help businesses deal with government regulations. And here's what the governor had to say to the business folks he was meeting with.
We need your help, because as business leaders, you're the driving force of the economy. You can point out where the obstacles are, where the opportunities are, where we should be doing better in partnership, not just with the private sector, but the educational sector and all throughout.
And basically, he's, Chuck, soliciting advice from local business people, which is always a wise thing for a politician to do.
Yeah, I think the timing, maybe this was in the works before Gianforte started his tour, but I would suspect it was maybe pulled together to counter him without actually saying that. So this gives business people a opportunity to tell the governor and his people if there are ways to streamline regulations. So I think it's clear we're going to be talking a lot about regulations and the need for them or the need to get rid of them during this election. And I'm sure there'll be some interesting debates on this.
Just as a political matter, it strikes me that it's going to be hard for Bullock to out anti-regulation Gianforte. There, of course, is a lot of middle ground between anarchy and strangulation. Both Gianforte and Bullock are going to be somewhere in that middle ground, but this is a little bit of a defensive position here from Bullock.
Rob, another issue in both the gubernatorial and congressional races is whether Syrian or other refugees should be allowed to resettle in Montana. And there have in recent days been anti-refugee hearings and rallies in Hamilton, Missoula, and Helena. And this is becoming a bigger and bigger issue both in Montana and nationally.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like a lot of the issues out there, this has become so polarized so quickly. I think the just looking at the issue, the impulse to want to help people. It's a noble impulse, a humanitarian impulse to do something to try to mitigate a really horrible situation. On the other hand, it's also the case that there are people out there who do mean to do us harm, and it's a legitimate thing to worry about whether terrorists could exploit this policy and work their way in here. And so to the extent that people are saying, look, we need to make sure that we have procedures and rules to make sure that that doesn't happen, that's entirely sensible. Unfortunately, at some of these rallies, we are seeing not only that message, but also just a bit of pure anti-Muslim bigotry, too. So it's a little unfortunate that it has become this polarized. And I guess I'd say on the opposite side, some of the supporters of the president's plan to settle refugees do sometimes come across as kind of having a blasé attitude about the legitimate challenges that that would entail. And I think that's not only the terrorism concern, but one that we don't hear about as much, and that is trying to assimilate these people into American society. And that involves getting them jobs, stable housing situations. One of the other challenges I think that we actually hear a lot less about are some of the cultural challenges. To take just one issue, many Muslims have very different ideas about the role of women in society than do most Americans. And we aren't hearing about that. But again, this is a legitimate thing beyond some of the basics. So there are some legitimate challenges here that shouldn't be totally brushed away. It certainly is a longstanding American tradition, a Montana tradition, that we do take in immigrants, and that has been largely successful over the course of the nation's history.
Here's what Lori Jensen of Whitehall said at a recent rally in Helena protesting bringing refugees to Montana and what her concerns are.
If we can't vet them and we're not going to keep track of them once they're here, that's just a recipe for disaster.
And that's the point you made, Rob, that there's no guarantee that some of these refugees might want to do the country harm. What people who are opposed to the resettling, some of them believe.
Yeah, sure. And that's, again, an entirely reasonable concern to have. And so as far as that goes, that's fine. But certainly the administration and a lot of supporters of these policies say that, you know, look, there's a middle ground between just opening the door and taking them all in and having some kind of serious screening process in place. And so we don't need to necessarily just assume that it's one or the other.
Well, Rachel Rivas of the Montana Human Rights Network is not convinced that fears of terrorism are the real concern.
These aren't necessarily new folks that are out saying these things that are pretty hateful about refugees and Muslim people. These are folks that we're really familiar with in terms of they've been activists on anti-gay issues, a variety of anti-choice issues, opposing immigration issues for over a decade in Montana.
Rob, there likely is some overlap of people who support a number of conservative causes who are involved in the anti-refugee settlement movement.
Yeah, sure. And as I said, I think we are seeing at some of these rallies just pure old school bigotry. And that does perhaps cast a shadow over some of the more legitimate issues that are being brought up. And to my mind, they don't rise to the level of saying that we should place some kind of ban on refugees. I tend to think that there is a sensible middle ground where we can accept them while also taking some of the concerns seriously.
Well, both Senator Steve Daines and Congressman Ryan Zinke, both Republicans, are also opposed to the refugee resettlement plans. And here's what Congressman Zinke had to say.
We need to stop the refugees, pause, and make sure our vetting system is accurate and appropriate. Quite frankly, we don't have the database, and a database doesn't exist.
Chuck, there are no plans, we should point out, to resettle Syrian refugees, for example, in Montana, at least no plans that I know of, although Governor Bullock says if there were plans and they could be properly vetted, he'd be okay with that.
Yes, that's my understanding. I'm not aware of any plan to bring X number of Syrians here, but I think the governor and some of the supporters of doing that are saying we're willing to try, but I don't think they've specified numbers yet.
And we should point out there will be a counter rally in support of refugee resettlement, and that's planned for this coming Tuesday in Missoula, and it looks at this point like that might get a large turnout. We'll see. Congressman Zinke, while we're speaking of him, Rob, also has a new book coming out this fall, I believe, called American Commander. And this is about his experience as head of Navy SEAL Team 6. not something he's ever been prone to hide.
Right, yeah. My sense is this is a little unusual for a member of Congress to be writing a book, especially such an early career member of Congress. We typically see this, though, from people who are on the more ambitious side and who are looking to move up. For presidential candidates, it's almost now a prerequisite that you have to write a book. All of the presidential candidates out there right now have books. These tend to not be great works of literature. They tend to more be trying to present themselves as candidates in a way that they want to resonate and to lay out part of their agenda. And I think we see a little bit of this in Zinke's book. It's focused on, as far as we can tell, American exceptionalism. This is something that he's used as a theme up till now, and it dovetails, I think, with his background as a Navy SEAL, and is something that there's reason to think is really resonating right now in the American public as a whole. And here in Montana, we are hearing a lot about the decline of the United States, especially in the presidential race, right? Donald Trump wants to make America great again. That's kind of a strong version of this larger concern that American exceptionalism is on the decline.
And Chuck, this was a theme when Congressman Zinke first ran for the office that he played upon as well.
He did, and he has something of a national following as a former SEAL team commander and certainly a fundraising base that I think is driven by being a SEAL team commander and also a veteran. And I've noticed that the House Republican leadership has put him out front a number of times, put him on television networks to talk about terrorism or the Middle East. I think you have someone here who has high ambitions, whether it probably to run for the U.S. Senate seat against Senator John Tester if he wins re-election this time or beyond. Will he become a cabinet member or a commander of some kind of military if a Republican is elected president this fall? I don't know, but I don't think you'll see Ryan Zinke staying in the Montana House seat for long.
Yeah, I think you're right, Chuck. This is just one more in a series of indicators that Ryan Zinke does have ambitions to move up. A few weeks ago, we talked about his fundraising, not only his fundraising, but his spending that I think could very easily be looked upon as a setup for future runs, likely that Senate seat of Tester's. And then there was also the somewhat unusual thing several months ago when he flirted with running for Speaker of the House. This is obviously an ambitious move and one that is quite unusual for a freshman member of the House.
Cheeky, even, some would say. Well, meanwhile, his challenger, Democrat Denise Juno, is embarking on a jobs tour of the state and was recently endorsed, not unsurprisingly, by the AFL-CIO and some of the labor unions in the state. And we'll be talking about that in the future. You've been listening to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm your host, Sally Mock, and I've been speaking with former Capitol reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine. And guys, we'll revitalize our program next week. Thanks.
Thanks, Sally.